In the book of Luke, chapter number 18, this is a parable beginning with chapter number 18, verse number 1. I'm not going to read all of the parable of our Lord. One of the parable that I have reference to begins at verse number 9. But for sake of time, I'll not read all of it. And for sake of emphasis, I want to read verse number 11. Look at Luke chapter 18 and verse number 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. That one verse, I emphasize for you this little statement, God, I thank thee. Then look over in the book of Hebrews, and I want to read in the book of Hebrews for us this morning one verse as well. Hebrews chapter 13, and will you look at verse number 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I ask now the Holy Spirit of God to help me. Thank you for the wonderful singing of the choir and the congregation in K this morning. I want to thank you, our Father, for, Lord, blessing us to be able to fellowship and meet one another and just be in the house of God. What a privilege that, God, you've afforded us today to assemble with God's people. Thank you for the outreach ministry of Benson Grove Baptist Church through the means of internet and the radio. And, God, for the fact that this morning that, our Father, there are hundreds of people who will listen to this broadcast. And then, Lord, we ask, God, that you'd minister to every heart. Our Father, help us to be a grateful people. Help us, our Father, Lord, to honor you in that gratitude. And I pray, God, this morning, if there's a man or a woman, a boy or girl, who's never come to know Christ, I pray the sweet Holy Ghost of God would convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And Lord, we're absolutely, totally dependent upon you. Without you, we can do nothing. And I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts now. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a wonderful time of the year. I love the change of the trees and this the atmosphere of around as we begin what we call the Christmas season, beginning with Thanksgiving and then on through Christmas and everything. And I just praise the Lord for it. But I'm reminded that much of the real meaning of Thanksgiving, as well as much of the real meaning of Christmas, has been lost. And I'll emphasize some of that in regard to Christmas tonight. This morning, I'm interested in this thought of Thanksgiving. You know, of course, the history of the beginning of our nation's celebration of that began many years ago with the Pilgrims and their gratitude to God for his providence and taking care of them, provision to them, and so on. But they focused on the Lord. I want to, in this morning, for just a few minutes, talk to you about right and wrong Thanksgiving. How in the world could Thanksgiving ever be wrong? God says, the Bible said, God makes it rain on the just and the unjust. And every person in some way ought to be thankful. But I've read to you a passage of Scripture about wrong Thanksgiving and one about right Thanksgiving. I want you to let me call your attention back, please, to Luke chapter 18 in the beginning. And I want to talk to you about the wrong type of Thanksgiving. Here in this passage of Scripture is our Lord, as you begin to read about this parable, verse number 9, he said this, and he spake this parable unto certain that trusted in themselves and that they were righteous and despised others. Now the Lord had a motive for this parable. It was that there were certain people who would justify themselves. They were self-righteous. And not only were they self-righteous, but when they looked at others, they despised them. And then this man had the audacity, the gall, to come before God and say, God, I want to thank you that I'm not like other men. And boy, what an inclusive statement he's making. It really, if you listen to it closely, he's elevating himself above all the people around him. He's saying, I am more righteous than anybody in my neighborhood. I'm more spiritual. I'm more dedicated. I'm a better servant of God. And he said, I want to thank you for that. And I'm going to tell you, that's the wrong kind of Thanksgiving. That's the wrong kind of Thanksgiving. You said, Brother Peter, what makes it so wrong? I want to say to you in the first place, it's wrong in this man because of the placement of his trust. The Lord said in this passage of scripture, he's going to give you this parable because of those who trust in themselves. They trust themselves. You see, thanksgiving is to focus on the Lord. But this man has put his trust in himself. I was privileged with the sad responsibility of helping with my brother-in-law's funeral. And I tried to emphasize, he was a good man. He had a lot of influence. He had not always lived a Christian life. They were like everybody else. His daughter said he was a little rough around the edges, and he was just a unique individual. But he was a good man in that he visited and that he did benevolent things, and he gave away a lot of money and he helped a lot of people in financial trouble. And in fact, my sister told me that they had a couple of pieces of rental property, and they had a lady in one of the houses that hadn't paid any rent in a year. And she said, Joseph, we got to get her out of there. He said, I hate to do that to anybody. Now, you can't operate a business like that, but he had such a kind heart. But you know what? The fact that he's going to heaven had nothing to do with what he did in good deeds. It had to do with the fact that he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. If you ever got around him, he was a humble man, quiet man, and he didn't brag about what he did. In fact, my niece stood up at the funeral and said she was just really blown away at the wake, at the reception of friends. She said of all the hundreds of people that came by and said to her how good her daddy had been, and she had no idea he'd had that much influence. He didn't talk about it, didn't brag about it. But this man, in this passage of scripture, he trusted himself. He was trusting it. And if you are a person who's trusting in your good deeds and your good works, and you try to give God praise for those good things, then that's wrong thanksgiving. Not only the placement of his trust, but notice a little further in this passage of scripture. He said he's given this parable about those who trust their own righteousness, but also those who despise others. And so not only the placement of his trust, but his prejudice against other people. He looked around and he said, Lord, I want to thank you. I'm not like all the rest of these people around here. They are adulterers and extortionists and so on and so on. And then he goes on and he says, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this old publican standing over here. That old tax collector, I want to thank you that I'm not like him. And what an attitude to have. How can you have an attitude of thanksgiving toward God and have such a foul attitude and spirit toward other people? I mean, you ought to look at people and appreciate what God's doing in their life. And if they're not living for God, if they're not where the Bible says they ought to be, you don't look with them with despise or hatred. You look at them with compassion. The Bible said when he looked on the multitudes that they were scattered as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. And I tell you, when you come to God with a thankful heart for his mercy and grace on your life, and as somebody had said one time, but for the grace of God, there go we. And come to God with an attitude of humility and a compassion on other people. I don't believe he accepts our hypocritical, phony thanksgiving when we just say, God, I want to thank you that I'm much better than everybody else. I want to thank you I'm more spiritual than anybody else. That's wrong kind of thanksgiving. It's wrong when you put your trust in something other than God. It's not good thanksgiving. And if when you have a prejudice or a despise for other people, that's not good. I don't care who they are. I don't care what race they are. I don't care what their background. Jesus loves them and he died for them. And thank the Lord for his mercy and grace that he extended to you. And know this, that God can do for them what he's done for you. And Paul said, I'm chiefest of sinners. I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. But he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And my dear friend, you ought to have that spirit and attitude. And when you come to God with that kind of attitude, he's honored by our thanksgiving. But not only that, I notice here the pride that he exhibited. He had misplaced trust. He trusted himself. He had a prejudice toward other people, but he had a pride that exhibited. I circled in that one little verse, and verse 12, two verses actually, how many times he used the word I. He said, I want to thank you, Lord, that I am not like other men. I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. Boy, it's all about him. He's a big I. And listen, his heart's full of pride about himself. And God doesn't honor that kind of thanksgiving. I mean, God, you people think about all that they've got, and then they say, just kind of hypocritically, God, thank you for all you've done. But down in their heart, they're thinking, boy, I really did good. Lord, I have really been able to accomplish a lot. I've done a lot of things. And they have an arrogance about it, a pride about it, that God doesn't accept their thanksgiving. Because it's the wrong kind of thanksgiving. Now, look over in the book of Hebrews. Here's a man who has the wrong kind of thanksgiving. But when you come to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, here's one verse that gives us, I think, the right kind of thanksgiving that honors God. Let me read it again. Hebrews 13. And look at verse number 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I mean, you don't have to be a Bible scholar if you read this one verse who says, the guy says, I want to thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other men, and I do this, and I do that, and I do the other. What kind of thanksgiving is that? That's wrong kind. But when you come to this passage of Scripture where he says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Oh, listen, what a blessing to be able to do that. I note that that other man never gave God credit for anything. He never magnified the Lord in any way. It was all about him. But when I come to this passage of Scripture, I find the biblical example of thanksgiving. What a blessing it is. I want you to notice the source of thanksgiving. He said in verse number 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. By him. By the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you don't trust in yourselves. When you come before God, you come with this attitude that what has happened in my life, all the good things in my life, was by him. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. With a heart of gratitude and humility, understanding that God did it. You may be the most wealthy man in this county, and you can still approach him with that attitude. It's by him. Had it not been for the grace of God, if God did this, God honored me, God allowed me to do whatever. But it's he's the source of it. He's the source of this thanksgiving. He said, without me you can do nothing. That would mean that you cannot even rightly praise him without the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in your life by him. He's the source of our thanksgiving. He doesn't accept our singing unless he's the source of that. He doesn't accept my preaching except he's the source of that. He doesn't honor your testimony except he's the source of that. And he will not accept your praise except the Holy Spirit of God is the source of that as well. By him, he's our source. But now I want you to notice the substance of it. And with that in mind, I want you to look at another verse. Hold your passage here in Hebrews. What is the substance of this? Look back in the book of Ephesians. Just go back a little ways. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 20. And watch what it says. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a right way to give thanks and there's a wrong way to give thanks. This is the right way. It is this, that you're giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the substance of it. It means that you approach the throne of grace through the shed blood of Christ and you give God the praise and honor and glory. You're magnifying him. Can I say this to you? You don't even have to enumerate all your blessings. We sang it a while ago. And we said we ought to thank him for everything. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Can I tell you, there's not one of us in this building that have got enough hours in this day, nor every hour of next week, nor from now to Jesus comes to thank him for all that he's done. But I can approach the throne of grace, and I can give him praise always for all things. I say, God, I thank you for everything. I can't enumerate them. It's more than I could ever compare. Your compassions, they fail not. Your grace is sufficient, and all the physical blessings you give. And listen, you praise him and give him glory for that. He is the source. And he also, the substance of it is all things all the time. My gracious, all the things he's done for us. You praise God. You don't have to list every little thing, although you ought to be grateful for every little thing. But he said, when you approach him, you give thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The source of it is that it comes from God himself. And the subject of it is God himself. I approach him and my focus is not on the little things I have, although God's been so good to me, a wonderful home, a wonderful family, so many possessions, you have to have extra building. I think about Gary him sitting back here, and at GP, I think about him almost every day. And I remember when he put that little shed out there, I got so tickled at it, and Elise had been needed room. And I said, GP, that's going to help her come in. And I said, that's going to help Elise have plenty of room for you to haul stuff too. He said, I'll tell you something. He said, they were putting that thing up on blocks. She was standing there with a box in her hand, ready to put it in there. He said, it's full already. He said, I got to build shelters out on the side. I got so tickled. And I said, GP, we are blessed people. We got more stuff we can put in the barn. And God has been so good to us. You know that. He's our source. And when we come to praise him, it's not just listing an inventory of things, but we're thanking him for who he is. It's our focus is not on our car, it's not on our coon dog, it's not on our new dress, it's not on our shoes, it's on him. Do you understand what I'm saying? The right kind of thanksgiving is not a category, not a listing or an inventory of all the material blessings God's given, but it's on him. That's the kind of praise he accepts. That's the kind of thanksgiving. He is the subject of our praise. We're magnifying him and we're praising him and giving him glory. He is the subject of that. We give him praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He lists for here us here also in this passage of scripture, Hebrews. He lists for us here in Hebrews the scope of it, not just the source of it. If it doesn't issue out of him, he doesn't accept it. And if he's not the subject of it, it's not real thanksgiving. And when we think about all things all the time, we realize that he's the one who gives it to us. But notice the scope of it. In this passage of scripture, the other one, it said in the book of Ephesians that we give thanks always. And here in Hebrews chapter 13, he said this, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. You see, as I mentioned a while ago, and all of you know this in your heart, and I know it in my heart, that our thanks to God ought to be always, continually. Always, in all things, we're focused on him. Now, if you have a heart of gratitude toward him, it doesn't make any difference what you have. Amen. It doesn't make any difference what you have. If you're looking at him and you're thanking God for him, and I shared this with you many times, and I thank the Lord for it. I remember when I was just, God beginning to deal with my heart about preaching, I may have surrendered, may not, but our choir would always, like our choir, they'd meet in a little room, and then they would practice, and then they'd come out and get in the hall. And one Sunday, Brother Wayne Carter, who was teaching the junior boys, they used to do sentence prayers. And he came in there one day, and we'd sit there, we'd come out of our classes, get ready to go into oratory, and Wayne was just laughing. And I said, what in the world? And he said, we just did sentence prayer. And he said, folks are going by, and all the guys were, all the kids in there, they were thanking the Lord for this and thanking for Grandma. And said, this one little boy, when it came to him, he said, Lord, I want to thank you for the butter beans. Amen. And he said, I got so tickled. Well, I laughed about that just like you did. And I thought that was cute, and I thought that was great. Well, then I went off to Tennessee Temple Schools. And there were times on two different occasions that I had to go down to rescue mission and get food. I mean, I was paying my school bill, and I was working at night, but I mean, just couldn't make the money go. And I'd go down and get food. And I remember so well, we were sitting there one night. Regina had cooked some dried beans. I don't know if it was lima beans or butter beans, but whatever. And she had a little bit of fat back, and she made some biscuits. And when I got ready to pray, I thought about that little fella who said, thank you for the butter beans. Now, if I ask you tonight, where'd you go out the day, where'd you go eat last night? You say, went to the steakhouse. I said, I had a wonderful steak. Where'd you go? I went to the fish house. Boy, we got a pile of shrimp, just like that. Because most of us, when we think about our meals, we think about the entrees, the big deal. And very seldom do we think about the butter beans. until you don't have nothing but butter beans. And then you'll appreciate them. But what he's saying is this, the scope of it is all things, all the time. Continually thankful for what God's given you. Continually thankful for the goodness of God. And it's always, it's all the time. But then I come to this last thought in that regard of what gives us here. He says this to us. He says, as I read this passage of Scripture, the scope or the source of thanksgiving, it says, by Him, by Him. And then the subject, it said we are to praise Him. Our focus ought to be on Him. And whatever thanksgiving it is, it's thanking Him. It's looking at Him. Our focus is on Him. And then it has to do with the scope of it. It's all things, all the time. But then in this passage of Scripture, I've had a lot of people come up to me and ask me things recently, or point out things that I've never even thought about in the Bible. Never even thought about it. Somebody was talking to me in fellowship last night about, was there ever a blind person healed in the Old Testament? Anybody ever been blind from birth and they get healed in the Old Testament? I don't remember one. But I never even thought about it. Never even thought about it. But there may be some truth and significance to that. That he can, he said, I've come to bring to light those that sit in darkness. Not only physically, but spiritually. I don't know what that's all about, but I do know this, that over the years, as I've read this one verse, there's something troubling to me in this passage of Scripture. Let me read it for you and see if you can pick up on it. Look in Hebrews again, in Hebrews chapter 13, and look at this verse down at our text verse, verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let me tell you what little problem I have with it. Not that I have a problem with it. It's just something I can't quite get my arm around sometimes, my mind around. He said, we offer the sacrifice of praise. When I think about it, here you got thanksgiving on one side and you got sacrifice on the other. We offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I couldn't quite get that. And you may not be like me, but you know what? When I think about sacrifice, to me that's very solemn. Sacrifice. That's solemn to me. And when I think about thanksgiving, that's jubilant. What a contrast. Solemn sacrifice. Jubilant thanksgiving. When I think about sacrifice, I think about death. But when I think about thanksgiving, I think about life. When I think about sacrifice, I think it's almost a darkness about it. But when I think about thanksgiving, I think about light. When I think about sacrifice, I think about pain. But when I think about thanksgiving, I think about pleasure. When I think about sacrifice, I think about a sad obedience. I honest before the Lord, I do not believe that Abraham, when he went to offer Isaac, he was skipping up the mountain whistling. He was going to obey God no matter what. When he was going to offer his son for a sacrifice, I don't believe he went up there whistling. Boy, I can't hardly wait to do this. But it was a sad obedience. But when I think about thanksgiving, I think about a jubilant outburst, thanksgiving to God. And when I think about sacrifice, I think about duty. But when I think about thanksgiving, I think about delight. And how can you put those two things together? The sacrifice of praise and the offering of thanksgiving, how can you put them together? Well, I don't know that I got all the answer, but God did help me with something. Turn in your Bible, please, to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 23. 1 Chronicles chapter 23. He said, we, in Hebrews, by the way, he is emphasizing, to the Hebrew Christians, and he related a lot of things to Hebrew history. But in 1 Chronicles, I want you to look in chapter number 23. 2 Chronicles chapter number 23. And as you come to this passage of Scripture, David is making preparation and God has allowed him to gather the materials for the temple. Already they have worshiped for many years in the system with the tabernacle. God had set up so many sacrifices, they'd come, and rivers of blood had flown out of Shiloh and other places. Wherever they set the tabernacle up, it was a continual daily thing. He had a whole family of Israel that their whole job was to offer those sacrifices. It was to maintain the vessels. It was to disassemble and assemble that tabernacle. And now they're in here in this land. God's going to allow Solomon to build this temple, but the same rituals will go on. They'll still offer blood sacrifices. They'll still go through all those things. And as they come in, and he says to those priests that this is your job. You have to offer these blood sacrifices day in and day out, day in and day out, and all the gore of it and all the odor of it and all of that. And then he tells us in the New Testament, but it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. And that was just simply looking forward to Calvary. But he says to them, not only are you as a family to do that, but you're to take care of the temple, you're to maintain all the vessels and all those things. But then I want to show you one little verse in chapter 23. Look at verse number 30. Here is another part of their responsibility. And he said, and to stand every morning to thank and to praise the Lord, and likewise at the evening. In the evening. He said, you're to offer these blood sacrifices over and over again. You're to maintain this temple. You're to keep everything spotless, and you're to be responsible for all of that. Oh, by the way, he said, every morning I want you to stand and give me thanks and praise. And every afternoon, give me thanks and praise. Now I come to the New Testament as he writes to those people. And he said this, you don't have to offer any blood sacrifices anymore. Never be another lamb slain. Never another blood sacrifice. There was never one. After Jesus Christ came, Israel never even offered another blood sacrifice. When that veil of that temple was rent, it was over with. Amen. And he said, listen. He said, you don't have to come every day and bring blood sacrifice. All you got to do now is come and praise me and give me thanks. I'm glad I don't have to go through the ritual. I'm glad all I got to do is thank him for Calvary. Hey, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. And that's what Thanksgiving's all about. Thank God I don't have to go through a ritual. I don't have to deal with all that. I just come and receive Jesus Christ. And out of a heart of gratitude, now and forever, I thank him and give him glory. Why? Because he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely by him give us all things? I don't have to do all of that. I get to just praise him. I get to rejoice in him. I get to thank him day in and day out, morning, noon, and night, continually. I get to thank him. That's where it's at. I don't have to offer a lamb. I don't have to offer a bull. The only sacrifice, the only part of that worship that I have is to praise him. And to thank him for what he's done. Are you glad for that? Say amen. 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 That's our heart of gratitude. Thanks to Calvary. That old song says, I don't live there anymore. Thanks to Calvary, you don't have to offer a blood sacrifice. Thanks to Calvary, you don't have to come and do a trespass offering or peace offering, any of that. He is all of our offering. So when you come to this house of worship, you come to worship. And you come to praise and magnify him. And you... All of it is because of him. Thanks to Calvary, we worship him, magnify him. Will you bow your heads and hearts this morning? It's all about him. It's all about him. You know, you've got loved ones who give you thanks. Moms and dads and grandchildren. I was in the General Dollar store up here the other day. And I was being nosy, I guess. Couldn't help it, really. There's a couple of grandparents up there, man and his wife, had a little girl, little granddaughter with them. I heard the granddad and grandma talking, and she said she's got her little shopping cart, and she's put a baby doll in there. And he said, how much is it? And she told him how much it was. And she said, should I put it back? He said, no. I'll pay for it. And in a few minutes, the little girl who was right there by them, granddaddy said to her, what you got there in that cart? And she said, it's a baby doll. he said, who's going to pay for it? And she said, Granny is going to pay for it. He said, where do you think she's going to get the money? And she said, she'll get it from you. She'll get it from you. You know, when I think about it, everything you got, you didn't pay for it. He did. Everything. He said he gave his son to die for you. He paid for your sin debt. But freely by him, he'll give you all things through him. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, if you read the next verse of my text this morning in Hebrews, he said, but remember to continue to do good deeds and continue to bless people and to help people, because that's what God does for us. We don't do that for reward. We don't do that to earn salvation. But we help people physically and financially in every way we can, because that's what God did for us. Can I ask you a question? Could you say beyond any shadow of a doubt, Brother Billy, I know that my salvation is not the results of my work, but is results of what he's done. He's already paid for it. And I know that I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand high this morning and thank him? Boy, listen, thank God for it. You say, Brother Billy, I'm going through a tough time physically, going through a tough time financially, whatever. But you know, Thanksgiving's really not about all of that. After all, it's about thanking him, glorifying him, magnifying him. Thank you. Put your hands down. It's my heart, my prayer, that this Thanksgiving season will be about him. He has been good to me. I could never thank him enough for how he's blessed me through people and all the things that we've got. But I believe the right kind of Thanksgiving doesn't give him a shopping list of all he's done. I believe we approach the throne of grace, and by him, we thank him. We honor him. We magnify him. And we're not having our mind on things, but on him. We bless his name. And we offer him the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. How many in this building this morning couldn't raise your hand a while ago and you said, Brother Billy, I don't know that I'm saved. My brother-in-law did not live a perfect life. He had ups and downs like many have. But I'm sure glad to hear my nephew say that he knew him probably better than anybody else. They worked for him 34 years in sawmill. But he said, in these last few years, he said, I've not doubted my daddy's relationship with the Lord. I've heard him talk, and we've talked. And he said, I have an assurance in my heart that he knew God, and he's in heaven now. That's probably the greatest thing you can do for your family, is for them to know that you're in heaven. If you're here, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, and you said, Brother Billy, I do not know him as Savior and Lord. I don't know if I died right now and go to heaven. I'd sure be honored to pray for you, if you'd allow me to. I wondered this morning, would you raise your hand and say, Preacher, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. I'd sure like to be able to pray for you if I could. Nobody would see it but me and the Lord. Would you just raise your hand right up, right back now? You may be a visitor or guest. Thank you so much. Others, God bless you. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I sure want to pray for you. You said, Brother Billy, how can I know? How can I know? He said, these things have written to you that believe upon the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. It's a written revelation here in front of me. It's called the Bible. And he said, by that written revelation in the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, you can know that you're saved. Let me give you a verse. The book of Romans, he said this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, that's not a Baptist verse. That's not an Assembly of God verse. That's not a Church of God or Nazarene verse. God, the Holy Ghost put that in the Bible. And he said, any repentant heart that calls upon me can be saved, shall be saved. And so this morning, if you who've raised your hand, if you want the gift of eternal life, It's as simple as turning to Him with your heart and by faith asking Him and receiving Him as Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you call on Him right now? I'm going to pray for you. First of all, Heavenly Father, I pray for our friends in the radio audience and in the internet audience. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now, oh God, would touch hearts. God, I wished I could save every one of them. God, I don't want a man or a woman or a boy or girl to be in hell. But God, I know You, Your heart's bigger than my heart. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God, what a great tragedy that You'd give Your Son to suffer and bleed and die for them, and them for some reason not ever accept Him as Savior. And so I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Thank You for the ones who raised their hand. And God, right now I pray that somebody who's come in this building, maybe as a visitor or guest, will leave here a brand new creature in Christ Jesus and know that their sins are gone forever and ever. And this Thanksgiving, their focus will be on You and thanking You for what You've done, and offer the sacrifice of praise, because we don't have to bring blood sacrifices, and our worship involves praising You. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here this morning, you raised your hand, you say, "Preacher, I meant that. I want You to pray for me. And can I say something? I love You and I'll pray for You. And I may not even know your name, may have never seen you before, but I will definitely pray for you." But the only people who are in heaven today are those who at some point in time really prayed for themselves. In a simple act of faith, they turned to the Lord and they received Him. I'd encourage you to do that this morning. If you wanted to just word a prayer, it doesn't matter exactly how you word it, but you might pray something like this right now in your own heart, believing what the Bible said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Pray this prayer. "Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe that You died, were buried, and rose again. I believe You bore my sin in Your own body on that tree. I believe You paid my sin debt. Dear Lord Jesus, I receive You now as my Savior and Lord. Come in my heart, forgive my sin. Help me to honor You and love You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me and for saving me right now.